Three Hostages, dramatized by Bert Coles, from the novel by John Buchan. Episode 2.
We're after one particular group of criminals. They're wreckers. Merchants of pessimism on a global scale.
For goodness sake, Walter, give me facts, not poetry.
There's absolutely no poetry about it. These people have toppled industries, destroyed governments, even ruined entire countries if there was money to be made. Yeah, we've been casting our nets around them for a long time, and soon we'll be gathering them in. All but one. The leader.
Why can't you land him along with all the others?
Because we don't know who he is. This man operates in total secrecy. He could be anyone. Anywhere.
And you say they've taken hostages?
Three of them. A young woman, an Oxford student, and a small child.
A child?
We strike at the gang in mid-June. The date's fixed.
Then you'll free the hostages at the same time.
No, you mustn't judge these people by any of the normal civilized standards. They'll kill them in cold blood without a second thought and then swing with a lighter mind for having done it.
My God.
Yes, it's terrifying. The world we knew has gone forever, I'm afraid.
So the hostages are doomed.
Unless we can find them first. That's the job I'm asking you to do.
I took on the job. I kept thinking of the little 10-year-old boy. I knew how I'd have felt if it had been my own son in the hands of those fiends, and what it would have done to Mary, my wife. I had precious little to go on, but at least I had help. I'd fallen in with Dominic Medina, the young MP, just about the finest brain in England, and the best sort of chap to have by your side in a tight spot. He invited me round to his London house to talk about the whole affair, and it was there that he introduced me to his mother.
Sir Richard Hannay, I give you the command.
I hear the command.
You have learned your lessons well.
I have.
Turn and face your teacher.
I obey. What are your orders?
Get down on your knees. Crawl before me.
I obey.
Crawl before your master.
Tell me this isn't true.
Mary, every word of it's gospel.
Medina and his mother. They hypnotized you.
Yes. Well, no. They only thought they had.
And you played along.
I wanted to know what it was all about.
But why didn't it work? Well, they were obviously expecting it to. Why didn't you go under?
I think it's because they didn't take me by surprise. I was expecting it.
Expecting it? How could you?
Do you remember what Tom Greenslade said about memories? How they could be completely buried, but then suddenly brought right back to life.
A sound or a smell, yes.
A sound or a smell or a touch. That's what had happened to me.
Please, remain quite still.
Oh, dear God.
Did I hurt you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Suddenly, I remembered everything. They'd done this to me before. The old woman had been there at Madame Breda's in Palmyra Square, and that night in Medina's library, too. She and her damned son had hypnotized me, poured their filth into my brain, and then made me forget about it. Or so they thought.
Thank God it all came back to you when it did.
Amen to that. If I hadn't realized what was going on...
But Dick, why? Why did they do it?
I thought at first it must be some perverted sort of game. Medina had probably picked it up out in the East and wanted to try it out on someone. I just happened to stroll along at the right time.
Excellent, my son. No reaction at all.
There's just one final test. Splendid.
How on earth did you stop yourself punching him?
I damn nearly didn't. I tell you, I came this close.
But somehow I managed to take it. I didn't even wipe my face. I had to convince them I was completely under.
Strange, isn't it? How easily these tough English succumb to the stronger spirit.
Will he prove useful?
Extremely. Slave.
Master.
Go over there and stand by the fire.
I obey.
Very good. Now, you are blind and you are deaf and you are dumb. You are nothing until I have need of you.
And there he left me. They paid me no more heed than if I'd been a piece of furniture. The two of them talked as if they were alone in the desert.
What did they talk about? Dick, what did they say?
They made the strangest picture, the two of them. In the dim firelight with the shadows all around. Like some sort of old master painting. God help me, it was almost marvelous. Marvelous and tragic.
What?
They looked like a king and queen in exile. Medina might be damnable, but he's proud and tragic and powerful. I think he truly is a great man.
Dick. Dick!
What? What?
Time for tea, I think.
Mary, stop staring at me. I wasn't under his spell then, and I'm not now. Believe me.
Right. You didn't answer my question. What did they talk about?
I couldn't hear most of it. I was too far away.
But you heard something. And it changed your mind about Medina just dabbling with hypnosis.
Broken sentences, odd words. But enough, yes.
We must send someone out there.
Is that really necessary?
Number three's the hardest of them to handle. He won't stay under much longer.
Number three? Are you sure?
And he won't stay under much longer. I'd swear to it. Medina's not just fooling around with hypnosis for his own amusement, and he's not just using it on me.
The hostages?
What else could it possibly mean?
But if Medina's involved with them...
Then he's part of Walter's international gang.
Part? Dick, he's Dominic Medina. He'd never be content with just being a part. He's the leader.
He won't stay under much longer. I must send someone out there.
Out there? But out where?
I don't know. I must send someone out there.
I must send someone out there.
No, that's not right. That's not what he said.
I must send you over there.
That was it. I must send you over there.
Who?
He must have meant his mother. But there was something else, too.
It's only till midsummer.
Something else.
Midsummer.
I've almost got it. Oh, damn it.
Midsummer day.
Midsummer day. Midsummer day. On midsummer day... What?
On midsummer day, we liquidate and disband. And that will be an end of it.
Dick, I hope this is important. You're interrupting a very enjoyable evening in medieval Nuremberg.
It's important, all right. I need to know the date you're rounding up the gang. The exact date.
24th of June. Why?
You're going to have to change it.
That's impossible. There are forces from three separate countries involved.
If you swoop on the 24th, you'll find nothing there. I know what I'm talking about, Walter.
Oh, just a minute. Now, what's all this about?
The gang's breaking up on the 21st, midsummer day. A complete liquidation and then they disband. And they won't leave any trace behind. You can lay money on it.
How on earth did you find that out?
I can't tell you.
Hannah...
Look, I'm playing a damn tricky game here. The fewer people who know exactly what I'm up to, the better.
I don't like it.
Neither do I. But I'm asking you to trust me, Walter.
The 10th of June it is, then. The Americans can holler all they like.
This isn't doing any good. Come to bed.
If I'd been 6 feet closer, I might have learned everything I need.
But you weren't and you didn't.
And striding round with a face like fury isn't going to change that.
You do realise I've only a few weeks to find these wretched people?
I haven't forgotten that, no.
No, of course you haven't. I'm behaving like an old fool.
Yes, you are. Now come to bed and let's talk about it calmly and quietly. You might remember something else.
I don't think unmasking Medina's done me any good at all. This is hopeless, Mary.
I've been thinking about that poem. The clue.
I don't think it's a clue at all.
What do you mean?
Well, what sort of kidnapper sends out riddles that reveal where his hostages are? That rhyme's just a bunch of nonsense to put us off the scent.
No, I'm not so sure. Seek where under midnight sun laggard crops are hardly won. We know that's Norway, right?
Mm.
Well, I think Norway is where Medina meant by out there. Where they're holding the third hostage.
If it all means something, explain the next bit. Where the sower casts his seed in furrows of the fields of Eden.
I can't explain it. But I want to ask you a question. The house in Palmyra Square, the Swedish lady's place.
Hmm, what about it?
You said it was well furnished.
Yes, it was.
Antiques?
Yes, but what's that?
Curios, kind of... collector's items?
I told you, yes. Oh, dear Lord.
Ha! Huh. Another memory up from the mists.
How did you know?
Because it all fits. You suddenly remembered Medina's mother being there in secret. Medina's blind mother.
Hmm.
And while you were there, you saw...
A spinning wheel. A spinning wheel.
Where, beside the sacred tree, spins the seer who cannot see.
Medina's mother is the blind spinner. But what about the sacred tree?
Oh, that one's very clever. Where exactly is that house, Dick?
Palmyra Square. Palmyra Square, Gospel Oak. Gospel Oak, sacred tree. It does all hang together.
There you are. Well, now perhaps you can relax and get some sleep and something else will come back to you.
There was something. Something... vital. But as soon as I think I've got it, let's go on.
Don't think about it. Get some sleep.
That's not going to be easy.
You never told me how it ended.
How what ended?
The business with Medina and his mother. You were standing by the fire doing your deaf, dumb and blind act.
Mm, yes. And then suddenly Medina was standing right in front of me.
Look at him, mother mine. Body, soul, and intellect belong to me.
I taught you well.
You and Karama.
You should not associate with that man. His ways are not our ways. His knowledge is dangerous.
No more so than ours.
Be careful, my son.
Trust me, everything will go smoothly. And then...
And then, what?
And then, we begin a new life. Both of us.
I suppose it was the heat and the effort of standing stock still for so long. I was in a dead faint.
Rather an unexpected end to our evening, eh?
I'm afraid so.
Well, don't give it another thought. There'll be lots more evenings to make up for it. I think we're going to be great friends, you and I. I'm sure you agree.
Oh, yes. I'd like that. I'd like that very much.
I rather thought you would. Good night.
He obviously expects me to go along with anything he says. They probably put that in my head while I was under... Looks like I'll be playing the doting disciple for a while.
For heaven's sake, be careful, Dick.
Oh, you can depend on that.
I only hope you haven't made him suspicious coming back home for the day.
Oh, he's got to allow me some freedom, surely.
Let's hope so.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that worked, didn't it? Now get to sleep and see what else your subconscious can come up with.
You're a clever old thing. Do you know that? Night.
Good night.
What? What have you remembered?
He wasn't talking about his mother.
I must send Newhover there.
Newhover? Dr. Newhover?
The crack you saw?
You see what this means? Walter Bullivan can trace exactly what ticket he buys, what boat he's on, everything. And I can be right on his heels. He'll lead me straight to one of the hostages. Mary, you're a marvel.
Yeah, shouldn't be too hard. I'll see what I can do.
Thanks.
There. Leave this with me. I'll get word to you at your club.
Annie, old man.
Medina.
I tried to catch you here yesterday. Something come up, did it?
My son was ill. I had to shoot off home to calm down Mary.
You could have done that by phone.
I wish I had. It was all a huge fuss over nothing.
Well, you'll know better next time, won't you? You won't do that again.
I won't do that again. Certainly not.
Of course you won't. Listen, Hanny, we're friends now, you and I want to share something important with you. What do you know about the ancient wisdom of the East?
Next to nothing.
That's what I thought. There's someone I want you to meet. I'm taking you to Karama.
Where?
Not where, but who? Karama. You've never heard of him, but there are millions in the East who worship him like a god.
Good Lord.
It's very unusual for him to be in London. He lives in a hut on the wildest pass in the Karakoram Mountains. Get in.
Where to, Gov?
The Dorchester Hotel, please.
Sit, my brother.
Master.
This is your cello?
It is, Master.
They were talking about me. I assumed I was being introduced as the well-broken slave, and I hoped I was up to the role. The truth was, this Karama, with his perpetual oriental sneer and his horrid feline satanic softness, was testing my endurance to the limit. I had an insane desire there and then to hammer him into pulp.
Demonstrate your control.
Master. Richard Hannay, I give you the command.
I hear the command.
What is your name?
I do not know.
Where do you live?
I do not know.
What is your purpose?
To serve you in all things.
You have followed far in the path of wisdom, brother.
And now I'm ready to go further.
What more do you desire?
I seek the third key. The key to permanent power over men.
Few men have attained the third key.
I am not as other men.
True. Meditate with me, my brother. Om.
Om.
Om mani padme
hum. They didn't speak another word of English the whole time we were there. I could feel my spirits falling again. Why had I taken on this job? Put a rifle in my hand and set me on a good scent, and I was your man. But this mystical mumbo-jumbo was right out of my sphere. I longed to talk it all over with Sandy Arbuthnot, but not only did he seem to have addled his brains, he was still off somewhere playing the fool on his infernal business trip. I'd rarely felt so keenly that I was entirely on my own. Listen, I'm going to be away for a few days, maybe a week. If anyone asks, I'm back home with you, ill in bed and can't be disturbed.
What about Medina? Won't he be suspicious?
I think I've convinced him I'm coming down with something.
I hope you're right. Does this mean you know where Newhover's going?
I'm about to find out.
That's all there. Your Dr. Newhover's booked passage on the good ship Gudrun out of Hull, 6:30 p.m. tomorrow.
Thanks, Walter.
And as ordered, you're on the same trip. Your name's Cornelius Brandt, just as you asked.
Excellent.
You haven't asked me where you're going.
I'll lay you odds it's Norway.
Norway it is. A port called Stavanger.
Mary was right.
I'm not in the least surprised to hear it.
And so it was that I found myself crawling through the undergrowth, overlooking an isolated hillside farm called Snarsen. It had one house, a few ramshackle outbuildings and, as I'd known it would, a barn for those laggard crops. A barn with a suspiciously new and reinforced door. Following Newhover had not only been easy, it had been a pleasure. I was back in the open air where I belonged, back with the wildlife and the breezes, and the glorious countryside of fjords and rivers and ravines. Newhover had been met at Stavanger and conducted to a private motorboat. It was late in the day, and I reckoned he wouldn't carry on the journey till next morning, which gave me ample time to hire some transport of my own.
A fishing boat.
Was ne going on?
Good bet.
I want to hire a fishing boat.
The Mertlaning.
Oh. Come on. Surely someone here speaks English.
Perhaps I can help.
Good Lord.
It was one of those amazing chances that seemed to strike at the most unlikely moments.
You are in need of a boat? I have a boat.
I need a boat and a man to handle it. A man I can rely on. Are you that man, Herr Gaudian?
That is my name, but I do not think I know you.
Do you recall a Dutchman named Cornelius Brandt, December 1915?
I recall an Englishman named Hanne who went spying by that name.
The same.
Grits the Turken, this is indeed romantic. Give me your hand.
You bear no malice.
Malice? But we are gentlemen. You served your country as I served mine. You played fair as I played fair. And now, here you are, out of the darkness on a Norwegian fjord. Romantic.
I had not been wrong about him. Gaudian was the one German I've ever wholeheartedly liked. The perfect companion for my mission.
Anything?
Newhover's just gone into the barn. That's where they're holding the hostage.
How can you tell?
I read it in a poem.
A poem?
It's a long story. I'll tell you someday. Wait, look.
Your Dr. Newhover is in a hurry, I think.
Where the devil's he going?
I can follow him.
I'll get closer to the barn. There was a considerable thicket, nestling alongside a small, yeasty stream just above the barn. The moon was almost full, and it was a perfect viewpoint. Get a grip, Hanny.
Oh, no, you don't!
One more move, and I'll have your arm out of its socket. Do you understand? Now, I'm going to take my hand off your mouth. If you yell out for help, I'll drown you. Understand? Right then. Now, how did you know I was here?
Talk!
Or it's more of the same.
No! Don't! You can let me go. I'm too tired to fight.
Don't you worry, old chap. No more violence.
What?
Sorry and all that.
Who are you?
You came to dinner with me once. Night before the Heythrop Ball. It's good to see you again, Lord Murcutt.
Oh, by thunder, that's better.
So, my young friend, you know who you are, do you?
Oh, yes. Well, if you'd asked me a week ago...
That fiend's hypnosis is wearing off. Do you remember everything?
I couldn't tell you how I got here. Where is here, anyway?
Norway.
Good Lord. Last thing I'm sure of is going up for dinner in Soho. After that, it's just... impressions. Cold. Darkness. Awful voices inside my head. Then being kept prisoner. The first man was bad enough. That new chap, you don't know what he's like.
Actually, I do.
Then you'll understand why I had to escape.
Which you seem to have managed very neatly.
Thanks to you two.
My pleasure. But there is one slight snag, I'm afraid.
Oh? What's that?
You have to go back.
Go back? I can't. I can't.
There was nothing for it. It had to be done. I couldn't risk alerting Medina. The other two hostages wouldn't live out the day, and Walter Bullivant's international roundup would go for nothing. I hoped to heaven that I could explain all this to the lad.
A little boy?
10 years old. And a girl, Adela Victor.
But I know her. I stayed in the same house once. And these criminals...
Some of the worst types he's ever encountered, according to Bullivant.
A little boy? I'm afraid I've been behaving a bit badly. I'm ashamed of myself, sir.
My dear young man, you've been through enough to crack the nerve of a buffalo.
I must play the game by the others. I'll do it.
Murcutt, you're a gallant fellow. It'll only be for a couple of weeks. And then I give you full permission to do anything you like with Herr Dr. Newhover.
Yes, I'd appreciate my innings with him when the time comes. Right, gentlemen. Shall we go?
He was in no danger, as long as he kept acting the brainwashed fool. But still, it took a great deal of bravery to wander back to the barn, reeling like an idiot and babbling about getting himself lost. We watched as he allowed Newhover to lead him back inside.
Did I see you give him your pistol?
Yes, but he won't use it. What he's keeping for Newhover is the best hiding a man ever had. This is damnably good of you, Guardian.
Someone must stay and keep watch, and get word to you if anything happens. You have to get back quickly, yes?
I have to get back quickly.
Hane!
Medina! I didn't expect this.
Your wife wired and said you'd be on this train. Shaken off the flu, have you?
Oh, yes.
Yes, nothing like a week of bed rest and home comforts. You are looking remarkably fit.
I've been sunning myself on the veranda.
Well, it's done you the world of good. Listen, Annie, I've been thinking. You've seen my house. It's as big as a barracks. Leave that club of yours and take up quarters with me.
Well, that's most awfully kind of you. It really is. But surely I'd just be in the way.
Not a bit of it. I have to go off to the country on business for a couple of days, but I'll be back on Friday. I expect to see you settled in when I return. And no more objections. Is that clear?
It's clear. How can I ever thank you? I was fairly disgusted with myself at how easily I slipped back into my fawning disciple character. But it struck me that there could be advantages to the situation. Medina might just be unguarded enough in his own home to let something vital slip. On the other hand, wasn't I going to be just as much under his hand as the hostages? At least I had a few short days to myself before I became his prisoner.
So, the Norwegian barn came from the poem. Clever, Dick. Very clever. How about the rest of it? The seer who cannot see?
I'm making progress with that one.
Good, good.
I'm up against a brick wall on this.
Hmm?
Where the sower casts his seed in furrows of the fields of Eden...
The fields of Eden. Well, there's the playing fields of Eton.
Mm.
Hmm? Could it be some sort of pun?
No, I thought of that. Couldn't get anywhere with it.
Well, your boy is down for Eton, I suppose. One of our hostages is a boy. No, it's too fanciful, isn't it?
I wondered if it could be part of London. An old name, maybe.
Hmm. Come with me. Finest research library in the realm, this. Any joy?
Not yet. Let's try another.
Right, here.
Thanks. Fields, fields. Oh, there are hundreds. Fields of this, fields of that.
Ah, you got it.
Page 327. The Fields of Eden... were opened by Mr. Askew as a summer resort for the gentlemen and sportsmen of the capital. Shady and miniature groves, the cheerful tinkle of glasses and the merry clatter of dice. Where the devil was it? Yes, yes.
Ah! Well?
North London. Good old Tom. It was in Marylebone, just behind Royston Square.
Is that what you needed to know?
Part of it. Now I have to go there and search.
What for?
A curiosity shop run by a Jew with a dyed beard.
Good afternoon, sir.
I'm interested in antiques. Mind if I look round?
We don't sell to private customers.
Oh?
Only to the trade.
I see. Pity. Well, I'm sorry to have taken up your time. Good afternoon to you. The stock, what there was of it, was either trash or fake. The business was bogus. I decided I'd have more luck if I came back after they'd closed for the night. It was an eerie experience, tiptoeing by torchlight through the rugs and cabinets and cheap busts. I'd thought that the place must extend quite a way to the back, but I was wrong. There was just a brick wall. So I had no choice but to make my way upstairs.
What the devil is that?
My torch showed me a sad, bare little room, dusty and cheerless. All one side was of glass, and through the glass came the glare of 100 lights from somewhere beyond. Very gingerly, I moved forward so I could see what was happening on the other side of the filthy window. It was the dancing club I'd visited weeks before when Archie Rylance had been trying to lift my spirits. I'd no idea it was even in this area. The place hadn't changed. It was still full of joyless creatures gyrating mindlessly to the appalling racket being thumped out by the band of performing monkeys. Archie's girl in green was there again, too. She was moving as beautifully as before, but this time she had competition. Far and away, the best dancer on the floor was a floating, waif-like thing, hideously and sparsely dressed. She was full of slim grace, though. Even with the vulgar clothes, vivid lips, and weary old pink and white enamel of her class. Her partner suddenly whirled her around, and I had my first clear view of her face. The shock nearly sent me through the window. It was Mary.
Good evening, Sir Richard.
Barnard.
Is Lady Hanny expecting you, sir?
Not exactly. Is she home?
No, sir, but she said she wouldn't be late.
Then I think I'll come in and wait.
Sir.
There was no one in the world whose wisdom I put higher than Mary's, but I hated to think of a woman mixed up in something so ugly and so perilous as this.
What was she up to?
My mind was whirling, but at least I'd been right in my guess that she'd be staying at her aunt's townhouse. Mary.
Oh, Dick, my darling. Why have you come here? Is there something wrong at home?
Nothing I know of, except it's deserted.
Peter John's perfectly safe with Nanny, you know that.
Yes, of course. But what on earth are you doing?
Are you angry?
Not a bit. Only curious.
How did you know I was in London?
I didn't, not until tonight. I've been watching you dancing.
Dancing? Oh, were you in that horrible club?
Well, let's just say I had a good view from the gallery.
You were in the shop.
You know about that place. I burgled it tonight.
Then you know it's the Fields of Eden.
I only found out today. It sounds as if you could have saved me a lot of time and trouble.
I suddenly remembered I'd heard the name before. It took some digging, but I found it and decided to have a look.
Done up like a geisha.
Oh, you can't hate it more than I do, but never mind that. Listen, I know where the second hostage is. I found Adela Victor.
Oh, bravo, Mary. Where are they hiding her?
They're not.
Oh, please, no more riddles.
It's not a riddle. They're not hiding her. Oh, it is so audacious. Medina must be quite appallingly sure of himself.
Mary, for heaven's sake, where is she?
Right out in the open. You saw her yourself tonight.
What? The girl in green, of course, the blank stare.
Medina's got her in some sort of permanent trance. I haven't dared try to bring her out of it.
Don't. I'm sure it would be dangerous.
Besides, there are people watching her all the time. Tom's bearded Jew, for one. And there's a real thug, built like a boxer.
Odell, Medina's butler. I knew I'd seen him somewhere else. How long have you known about the girl?
About a week. I've been in that horrid club every night, trying to pick up information. Oh, but Dick, what about little Davy Warcliffe? Have you any news?
Not a glimmer, I'm afraid.
Nor me. It breaks my heart thinking about him.
As I walked back from Great Charles Street to my club, I found myself seething at how powerless I was. If we'd been in Central Africa, I would have got Medina by the throat, pegged him down and tortured him until he confessed everything. But that wouldn't work in England. It was the last week in May. My deadline for saving all three hostages was barely 2 weeks away, and I was about to become a prisoner myself.
Anna? Ah, good man. You're properly settled in, I hope?
Very much so. How was your business trip?
A complete waste of time. Look, I have to go and see some people tonight. You can make yourself comfortable here.
Of course.
Splendid. And no more illness and running off home now. You're in perfect health and you're going to stay that way.
I'm in perfect health and I'm going to stay that way.
Exactly.
So began one of the strangest weeks of my life. From the moment I woke the next morning, Medina kept me perpetually under his eye. At first I was mortally afraid that he suspected me, but I soon discounted it. I came to think he was using me as an experiment to test his power. Every now and again, he'd check my receptiveness.
Richard Hannay, I give you the command.
I hear the command.
Approach me.
I obey my master.
Good. Very good. Now, return.
I flatter myself now that I had my role down pat. Of course, the fact that my life depended on it was a pretty compelling motivation.
Here.
Thanks. I can see now that he also wanted me as a sounding board. He would talk to me late at night in that terrible library. And in those talks, I saw at last exactly what lay behind all the public charm and the easy fellowship.
Men today don't understand power. They think of it in material terms like money or land. Those things are baubles. Nothing. True power is the control of human souls. It needs the Western strength to dominate men's dealings and the Eastern wisdom to control men's minds. A rare combination, Hannay. But the man who attains it will rule the world.
When he talked like that, I'd look at him as the dusky firelight gleamed on his eyes, with their blue, cold light like the sunrise of death on an Arctic waste. I'd look at him, and I'd fear him.
Odell?
Yes?
Your master not joining me for breakfast today?
He's already gone out.
Did he say when he'd be back?
No. Sir.
Part of my mind told me it could be a trap, but I didn't care. Medina had a private desk in his library. This might well be my only chance to have a look inside it.
Oh, my God.
Operator, Whitehall 237, please. Barnard, it's Sir Richard. Is Lady Hanny there? Thank God. Yes, yes, please. Mary, listen and don't interrupt. The date's been changed. The gang disbands on the 2nd of June. Tell Bullivant, you understand? Good. So, don't worry about a thing, do you hear? The doctor knows what he's talking about.
Trouble, honey?
Some instinct had made me look up, but I'd no idea how long he'd been there, listening.
Well?
My wife, still fussing about our son, can you believe it?
May I speak to her?
Of course. Just a minute, darling. My host wants a word.
Thank you. Lady Hannay, Dominic Medina. I'm sorry to hear you're still concerned. What? Why, yes, of course, of course. Don't give it a second thought. She asked if she might telephone again if there's any more news. How could I refuse?
Decent of you. Thanks. What fussers women are.
So I believe.
You can imagine the state I was in. I knew that Mary would pass on the new date to Bullivant, but would it do any good? Would he be able to get word to Gaudian in Norway to spring Lord Murcutt? And was there any chance of rescue for Adela Victor? Of the little boy, I had given up all hope, and I was tortured by the thought that I'd failed him and his father. I awoke on the morning of June the 1st, in something like total despair.
What do you say to a run out into the country today?
Splendid.
A walk on some high ground will give us an appetite for dinner. Wouldn't you know it? 10 to 1, that's some infernal business. It'll keep me here all day.
Lady Hannay's on the telephone. Wants to speak to her husband.
Dick? Dick?
What is it now, Mary? You can't still be worried about Peter John.
I understand. People can hear you.
Hmm.
Listen, be at the club at 10:30 tonight. Things are looking hopeful.
Well, get a second opinion then, and try not to bother me here again. Goodbye.
Not more trouble, I hope.
Nothing important. I'm yours for the day.
We'll sit here for a minute.
Yes. Thanks.
What's the highest pleasure life can afford, Annie?
That's too deep for me, I'm afraid.
Sometimes I wonder if it isn't renunciation. To win everything that mankind's ever striven for, and then to cast it aside. Forget wealth, forget position, even forget power, and take up the sandals and the begging bowl. Could that be true, do you think?
Well, I've heard it said.
To be emperor of the world, and then throw it all away. The man who could do that wouldn't be a man. He would be a god. Come on. Time we were getting back.
Hello, Dick.
Mary.
No problems getting out.
No, Medina left after dinner.
Business, he said. But look, did you get word to Bullivant?
Yes.
Then is the swoop underway? I've been slowly going mad here, not knowing what's happening.
What's the time?
10:35.
Then you're about to find out everything.
Watch out!
Ladies, it's all right now. Keep calm now. Everything's all right. Come along now.
There. That didn't take long, did it? Shall we step outside?
Mary.
No. Don't talk for a moment. Would you hold me, please?
You're trembling.
Yes, I'm afraid I am. Well, I wasn't sure how many thugs Medina would have in there. But it went off all right, didn't it? It
certainly did. Were they Walter's boys?
No, they were Scotland Yard. Surprised you couldn't tell.
Walter!
My boys are otherwise engaged. Have been all day, actually.
The roundup.
Yes, you'd be amazed at the number of eminent citizens who missed their dinners tonight. Well, I can't stand around here passing the time of day with you two. There's work to be done. Mary, my dear, tell your husband about the hostages, would you? Till the next time. Hey, Dick? Till the next time.
There isn't going to be a... Mary, what about the hostages? No, first tell me what's happened to Medina.
He's still free. Walter doesn't even know he's involved.
You didn't tell him either.
I daren't, not till it's properly over. Listen quickly. Adela Victor's safe, you saw. Lord Murcutt's back in England. Your friend Gowdian brought him over.
And Davy Warcliffe?
You'd better get back to Medina's house. I'll be there as soon as I can.
Hello. How did you get in?
It's Odell's night off.
The first of many, I suspect.
What are you talking about, old man?
I think you know. Miss Victor's been taken back to her father. Your voodoo will wear off in time. And Lord Murcutt's back, too. He's been free of it for weeks.
Are you mad? I don't know these people. Explain yourself.
I'm not going to tell you a tale you know already.
Richard Hannay, I give
you... And you can forget all that. I've been play-acting from the first.
I've been kind to you and treated you like a friend. This is a fine reward, raving at me. I think you'd better leave my house.
Not till you hear me out. You're a third hostage, still in your hands. I've a proposal to make. Will you listen?
If it will help you work through this mania, whatever it is.
Your syndicate's finished, but the authorities don't know that you're involved, and unless one of your gang talks... They never will know.
My gang?
I'll swear a solemn oath to hold my tongue. I'll leave England, if you like. And I'll give you £100,000 in cash. In return, you'll give me Davy Warcliffe. Restored and sane and free of whatever damnable hex you've laid on him.
You poor devil. You're madder than I thought.
If you don't agree... I'll blacken your reputation throughout the civilized world.
And just who is going to believe you? You've no evidence. And as you rightly say, my friends, my real friends, are loyal friends. You'll be laughed to scorn.
By God, but I admire you.
You do what?
You stand there with your pet scheme shattered, your precious vanity wounded to the quick at the way I've deceived you, and yet you still play your game as cool and precise as you like. £100,000 for David Warcliffe.
Do you know, I might feel insulted if I didn't know you were a lunatic. And, of course, I should be perfectly justified in defending myself against a lunatic.
Put down your weapon, my brother.
Master!
Put down the weapon. Such things are crude and demeaning. Have I taught you so little? Put it down.
What are you doing here, Karama? If you come to praise your star pupil, I have to tell you he doesn't exactly deserve it.
I have been listening to your conversation, to your accusations, Sir Richard Hannay, and to your replies, my brother. You say there is no evidence.
I do say so. And no charge to answer.
Quite so. And your friends are loyal friends. However, in all of these things, you are completely wrong.
No one will speak. No one would dare.
One will speak. One to whom you have confided all your secrets.
Name him.
My brother, you are looking at him. And I'll have you know I'm an excellent listener, Mr. Dominic Medina.
Good God above. Sandy?
Evening, Dick. No, I believe I'll have that, thank you.
What have you done with Karama?
Karama died over a year ago. I took the liberty of borrowing his name. I've been interesting myself in you for quite a time, Medina.
Whatever you have. Two lunatics are no better than one. I deny everything.
Oh, I don't say we can send you to prison. You've been far too clever for that. But I agree with Dick. We can ruin you for the rest of your life.
And I rather think you'll find that a worse fate.
Ruin me? Me? I'm a hard man to beat.
Oh, we could do it. But I told you, we don't want victory. We want success. We want Davy Warcliffe. 100,000. The offer still stands.
No, it doesn't.
Hmm?
I thought I'd already been as shocked as a man could be that night. I was wrong. Mary was standing in the doorway, and in her arms was the queer little girl servant from Palmyra Square.
No! What have you done to her? What have you done to her?
Oh, no!
Send it!
Right here!
All right, all right! Tell me what you've done to her.
Your mother's not been touched. She's still in Palmyra Square under guard. And now, I want you to bring back this little boy's mind.
That's Davy Walker.
Yes. Take him, Dick. So, all right, Davy, all right, I'm here. Do you hear me? You took away his soul and you'll give it back again. That's all I ask. Then we'll go away.
And we'll never open our mouths. My word on it.
I know nothing of any brat.
Don't waste my time. Will you bring the boy back?
You can spread your lies all you want.
Oh, that's not what I plan to do. Will you bring the boy back?
You can't crush me. I'm too strong for you.
Will you bring the boy back?
No!
Very well. You've destroyed a soul, so I shall destroy your body.
Mary! The boy's mind won't come back on its own. It's too unformed. Kill me, and you kill him too.
Oh, I'm not going to kill you. You've taken a soul, so I'm going to take your body. But I'm not going to kill you.
You're as mad as they are.
Do you know what this is? This is the elixir of death.
Mary.
This is concentrated nitric acid. Death in life. It will burn your flesh and eat your bone, but it won't kill.
You wouldn't dare.
Nothing will stand between me and the saving of that child. I don't want to kill you. I want you to live a long life. But you'll live it alone and you'll live it apart. When I've done with you, no woman will ever cast eyes on you except to shudder. People will point at you and say, there goes the man who was maimed by a woman because he stole the soul of a child. Ah, I see you understand. So, do I take a body for a soul? Or will you give me a soul for a body?
Dad.
Davy? Davy!
Hello, Dad.
Davy, my boy, you've come back to me. I didn't think it possible. I didn't think it...
Oh, Dad!
Davy, my boy.
Come on, Dick. Let's go home.
To my dying day, I'll never forget my last sight of Medina's library. The books gleaming like silk tapestry in the firelight, the flames flickering and dancing like living things, and the man sunk low over the limp, unmoving bundle, murmuring, murmuring, bringing it back from somewhere worse than death. At that moment, Medina seemed to me the loneliest thing on God's good earth. His ambitions had made a barrier between him and all humanity. and now his ambitions were gone. He was stripped naked and left cold and shivering in the Arctic wilderness of his broken dreams. It was front page news barely a month after our last meeting when he died on a mountaineering trip. A freak accident, the papers called it. It seemed to me that striving for the world and then losing everything wasn't, after all, the highest pleasure that life could afford. It was a fine, crisp summer morning when Mary and I returned to Foss Manor and to our son. And all three of us went up to Scotland in August, exactly as we'd planned.
In The Three Hostages, dramatized by Bert Cools from the novel by John Buchan, Sir Richard Hannay was played by David Robb, Lady Mary Hannay by Hayden Gwynn, Sir Walter Bullivant, Clive Merrison, Dominic Medina, Michael Maloney, Colonel Sandy Arbuthnot, Christian Rodsker, Mrs. Medina, Suad Fares, General Warcliffe, Gordon Reed, Gaudian, Andrew Harrison, Lord Murcutt, Ben Crowe, and Davy by Emma Callender. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Bruce Young.